Food and Drug regulators are about to post new rules for electronic cigarettes, bringing major changes for users and for the industry. I'm David Brancaccio. The deadline is tomorrow for the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to figure out what to do with vaping, which products are deemed safe enough to stay on the market, which get banned. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has more.
When UC San Diego professor Laura Crotty Alexander started researching vaping nearly a decade ago, products were hardly regulated, and many vape makers were small businesses.
One thing to understand is that the majority of e-cigarettes are now made and sold by big tobacco.
That includes Vuse, owned by Reynolds American, and Juul, partially owned by Altria. Both are being scrutinized by the FDA. Physician and Stanford professor Robert Jackler researches tobacco advertising. He says the FDA could restructure that landscape.
The FDA could ban all use of social media on the part of all types of nicotine products that aren't therapeutic to help smokers.
Another possibility, the FDA could limit nicotine concentration in vapes.
In the United States, there's no limit. The only practical limit is when the nicotine gets too bitter.
Successful applications from e-cigarette makers will need to prove their product protects public health. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
There's the view that the mood of many investors changes after Labor Day, a kind of buckling down to business after the distractions of August. Many a Wednesday, as the market opens for the day, we consult Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors.
It is really institutional investors taking stock of reality. They're concerned about this reopening trade. The market persists at these all-time highs, and yet we're not sure how much the consumer is going to spend. Last week's job numbers weren't that encouraging. Markets are concerned that that extra stimulus is going away, and the Fed might even be slowing down on its support and starting tapering in the coming months.
A highlight, I guess we could call it, of the fall is going to be perhaps someone tapped by President Biden to become chair of the Federal Reserve. The current guy could stay in the post, of course, but there might be someone new.
That's right. The current guy is chairman of the Fed, Jay Powell. But that position does change. It's appointed by the president, and President Biden has to reappoint that position. It's widely expected that he'll do so this month or next, and it's not certain if it's going to be Jay Powell again. Markets hate uncertainty. So until there's clarity on that, that will come back to haunt the day-to-day investment community as they try to figure out if it will be someone who's more hawkish, so more inclined to raise interest rates, or more dovish, someone who will keep interest rates low.
Always good to check in with Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. Equities, Aviva Investors. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Did Robert Noyce, the co-inventor of the microchip, ever envision the world economy would be controlled so much by his flat little circuits? One reason new cars and trucks are in such short supply and graphics cards for video gaming can take months to arrive is the pandemic-era shortage of microprocessors. There's news that the chip-making giant Intel of California is ramping up its operations in Ireland. The BBC's Theo Leggett is at the International Mobility Trade Show in Germany, where he spoke with Intel's CEO. Theo?
The company believes there will be a lot more demand for chips from Europe in the years to come, because this is a major hub of car making. Demand for chips is going to become ever greater as cars become more complicated and more computerized. In terms of what they're planning, first of all, Intel already has a factory in County Kildare in Ireland, and they're going to set aside some of the capacity in that plant to make chips for the auto industry based on other people's designs. So that's kind of a short-term fix, if you like. But some of that capacity will be diverted to the auto industry. Beyond that, the company has ambitious plans to build new mega factories in Europe, as Pat Gelsinger, the chief executive of Intel, told me when I met him earlier.
Building a new mega fab in Europe, I believe, will just reestablish what we've called this geographically balanced supply chain. Europe used to be 44% of worldwide semiconductors. Now it's 9%. Just this decline as everything moved to Asia. If you look at the premium segment cars, about 4% of the bill of materials of the car is semiconductors. Our estimates are by 2030, that's going to go to 20%. So you think we have importance of semiconductors in cars today? You ain't seen nothing yet.
This weekend marks 20 years since the September 11th terrorist attacks. Much attention is focused down the street from me here in New York, where the Twin Towers came down, or at the Pentagon in Northern Virginia. We're looking at Western Pennsylvania, where the fourth plane, Flight 93, came down in a field in Somerset County. That regional economy has been changing in these 20 years, a focus for us this week on this program. Marketplace's Nova Safo joins us today from Pennsylvania.
David, we're headed to the Shanksville area later this week, but we wanted to start in Pittsburgh, the biggest economic center in western Pennsylvania. The regional economy here has tried to diversify from steel and coal over the last two decades, and one industry which Pittsburgh is paying a lot of attention to is tech, particularly autonomous vehicles and robotics. The idea here is use regional manufacturing and logistics strength for new economy businesses. I visited Alpha Lab, a tech accelerator. Its managing director is Jim Jen. He walked me through part of the building where entrepreneurs can tinker with prototypes. It's a very cavernous space.
Yeah, it's a cavernous space. We have a machine shop here with tools and equipment for the entrepreneurs to do light prototyping.
And what kind of prototypes are we talking about? What are they generally building?
For example, one company has been developing material that is got the properties of rubber but is also thermoconductive.
And yeah, before you ask, David, you apparently could use that to make lighter laptops, for instance.
So startup activity in Pittsburgh, but put it in perspective for us, compared to places like Seattle or California, Silicon Valley?
Right. There's a difference in scale. Startups in Pittsburgh last year raised just under $1 billion in early stage funding. That's just a small fraction of the overall tech industry. But the tech companies that are in Pittsburgh are having an impact here locally. A lot of new development around town, repurposing old manufacturing facilities. That's also meant gentrification. Here's Jim Jens again.
All of us that are building an ecosystem really want to make sure that we are making it as inclusive and to not have the disruptive effects of creating greater inequality.
Gentrification is an issue where you're located here.
Yes, it is. And so it is an issue that we are grappling with and are focusing on.
And Jen told me they're trying to invest in startups with diverse leadership, for instance, to counteract some of that gentrification. A lot of those startups get gobbled up by bigger firms, so hopefully a pipeline of diverse talent into the tech industry as a whole.
In Pittsburgh today, Marketplace's Nova Safo joins us from Somerset County, Pennsylvania, tomorrow, a county that includes Shanksville, where the Flight 93 National Memorial can now be visited. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.